In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're almost through the Lenten season. Yay. And as we look at that concept through the gospel today, in the gospel according to John, we find that Jesus is in Bethany. Now, if you do a little quick research on that, we'll find out that we believe that's a city that's roughly a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And exactly following this in the gospel according to John will be the triumphal entry, which we will reenact in our own way next Sunday on Palm Sunday. But the fact of the matter is Jesus is moving forward to Jerusalem. We all know what happens. Jesus had predicted this concept previously in this gospel, so a few people in the room may be starting to wonder about it, but they often seem surprised when it happens, don't they? But we're in this interesting place. He's at Lazarus's house with his sisters. Martha and Mary are there, and they're having a dinner party for him. And we've probably heard this story 1,000 times, maybe. Have you? I hope you have. I mean, we should have heard this like 1,000 times, amen? Okay, good. If you're younger than that, let's go with 50. 50? We're all pretty familiar with the story one way or the other. And as I sat down with it, I'm thinking, well, I should probably look at the epistle or maybe the Old Testament lesson, because over time, things seem, and I don't want you to take this wrong, sometimes it seems tired. Oh, right, last Sunday in Lent, Jesus is close to Jerusalem, somebody's doing something with his feet, anointing him with oil, right? And then we go through the whole story, as we heard today. Yeah, he's in Bethany, he's at the dinner party, Mary takes a pound of costly perfume, pours it on his feet, wipes it with her hair. See, I just drew a blank, don't you hate that? Somebody gets upset. Who was it? Judas. I thought you heard it 1,000 times. Judas gets upset. Because he's saying, we should have sold that and put the money into the purse. And then there's this little sidebar. Well, he wanted it in the purse because he was going to steal it for himself. And then Jesus says, leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. And we can hear that, and then all the scholars will look at it and say, well, the concept of what was happening when she anointed him was his burial preparation. It was symbolic of his burial preparation. And the thing that Judas was doing was a warning of what Judas would then do next. And we can tie all those things together, and I suspect you've heard that sermon, right? And that was my thought on it. I thought, well, everybody's heard this sermon, so I should probably give a different one. And then as I was going through that back and forth and discerning with what maybe God wanted me to tell you, and hopefully I occasionally get that right, I was reminded of our interviews this week. We have interviewed 3 different candidates for our youth ministry position. Amen, that's right. Keep praying. Please keep praying. But I feel like we're close. The group says yes. But one of the questions we were asked to ask is, who is Jesus to you? And as I'm looking at this reading, this is running through my mind. Who is Jesus to you? And I'm a little slow sometimes. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything? So I sat down with this context of who is Jesus to you, and I read it again. And I thought, who is Jesus to Mary? In that context, Mary is having a dinner party for this Jesus. Her brother, who he called out of the grave, is sitting next to Jesus at the table. She might be a little overwhelmed, maybe, and has a clear understanding that there's somebody very important having dinner at her house, and it's this, their friend, Jesus. And in the middle of the dinner party, this wasn't just them, because we know Judas was there, we know his disciples were there, and we know there were people coming alongside of him. This was a party. There's a large number of people undoubtedly somewhere in the vicinity of what is happening. They're having a celebration, a dinner party. And in the middle of it, Mary goes and gets perhaps the most valuable thing in their entire home, this perfume made of pure nard, worth 300 denarii, which would have cost like a year's wages almost for the average working man. She goes and gets this very expensive item, comes back into the room in the middle of the dinner party, and it didn't have a screw cap, by the way. She breaks the top off of it, kneels down, dumps it on his feet. Now, I suspect people are thinking, what is she doing? Can you imagine it? I mean, just imagine that. You're at a dinner party, and suddenly one of the hostesses comes out, breaks open a bottle of perfume, starts dumping it on somebody's feet. And this is what they were all talking about at the synagogue later, by the way, takes her hair down in the middle of the dinner party and wipes his feet. This, brothers and sisters, was bordering on obscene in this setting. To take her hair down in public, to take her hair down in the middle of a dinner party that she was hosting, and to kneel at the feet of this man Jesus and to begin to wipe his feet with her hair? Something's happening here. I suspect more than one person got up and went, I cannot eat here. This is obscene. People were turning away, I guarantee you. She is offering a borderline obscene outpouring of love for Jesus Christ in public. Imagine that. This story sounds different to me now. Here's this woman who is worshiping Jesus, the one who raised her brother from the dead, and guess what? She doesn't care what you think. She is worshiping a king in her eyes, her king. There's this preacher who's semi-famous, whose name I forgot to write down. And he has this really wonderful sermon, and he gives all these wonderful descriptive words of who Jesus is, and they're all rhyming. And he moves from one thing, and each time he gets through the phrase, he goes, "That's my king. Do you know him?" And that starts running through my head in the middle of this. Did she know her king? Yes, she did, amen? And she didn't care if anyone else in the room knew her king or not. She was going to worship and anoint her king. Because I suspect in her heart, and probably from something she may have heard through the grapevine, Jesus has said, I'm going to my death. And she knows that he's passing through her town on his way to Jerusalem. And she's like, I'm not missing this moment. I'm going to lay it all on the line. I don't care who sees me. She moved from her heart. And wow, what a witness that is to us today. Can you imagine someone so passionate for their Lord Jesus Christ that they turn away the entire world, turn away all society's expectations, break all the boundaries, and then break the jar and kneel at his feet. And then, of all things, in this very intimate moment, does this incredibly intimate thing and takes her hair down and wipes his feet. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? We can walk through our lives having an association with Jesus, or we can walk through our lives in relationship with him. Society says association is good enough. And brothers and sisters, it's getting worse. I watched on one of our entertainment channels some time ago now, whatever the pop star of that moment was, I'm more of a blues fan in case you were unaware, was coming out of a store, and the cameras are all there, and the fans, much younger than I, were all standing out waiting for this person to come out of the store. And they're all very excited. And then the person comes out of the store. And the funniest thing happened. He comes out the door, and everybody who's been watching him in the store buying shoes or whatever he was doing, he comes out, everybody turns away from him and goes like this with their phone. And as he comes out, and everybody gets the picture. This is supposedly somebody they adore. They have gathered on the sidewalk while this person is buying clothing or something, and when that person they adore comes out, they turn away from him and take a picture with him so they could do what with it? Show everybody else. The person they adore was right there. They didn't even look him in the eye and say, "I adore you." Right, wrong, or otherwise, not the point. The fact is, what they adored was right there, and they couldn't even look him in the eye. And sometimes I wonder if we're afraid to look Jesus in the eye. I wonder if we're afraid to get down on our knees at his feet. Or are we satisfied with an association that we can show other people? Amen? So there's something about me you probably don't know unless you see me outside of my normal uniform. There's a gold cross hangs around my neck. Not too many people see it because my collar is always here. I have worn a cross around my neck since I was a child. I've worn this one, but decades, quite frankly. There was a time I wore that cross because I didn't know why. I had an association with Jesus. Then things started to change, and it was a little slow, but we've already covered that. It takes me time. And somebody asked me one day, in his own words, "Who's Jesus to you?" Well, here's the thing that should make you a little nervous. He asked me that after I had been elected to the vestry of his church. And I thought, that's a good question. I wish I could answer that, and I wish somebody had asked me that before I was elected to the vestry. I had an association for a long time. And I was okay with it. Or I thought I was. And then I saw the witness of other people who had a relationship. People who were not ashamed to fall on their knees before their God. People who were not ashamed to say his very name in public. People who were not ashamed to claim their Christian faith openly and witness to others to the glory of God. Mary knew who Jesus was to her. And today we have her witness. Her witness. It's so much more than just a little pouring of perfume in the middle of a dinner party. This, brothers and sisters, was a scene. And it was bordering on obscene. So you want to do a theological reflection on it. What about the obscenity of what happened next when he got to Jerusalem? as we make a journey through Lent, as we're on this last Sunday of Lent, and as we come as we come next Sunday for this journey into Jerusalem with him, which is not going to end well, in case you've missed Palm Sunday, the process then begins of Holy Week. We have a process to remind us of the witness of Jesus and his death and resurrection. We walk it out every year. We walk it out on these walls. Maybe you've seen some of these little plaques hanging the last few weeks, this way of the cross. We do it for a reason. That reason is so we can remember. Just like Mary was remembering, undoubtedly sitting there, maybe even across the room, looks over and sees her brother, Lazarus, sitting next to Jesus. And the last time she saw them together, he was standing outside his tomb, weeping and saying, "Come out!" And he did. And now she's at this dinner party and she knows in her heart that she's not going to see him again. She's not going to see him in this life again. And she said, "All bets are off, brothers and sisters. If you don't like what I'm about to do, there's the door. But I'm not letting this moment go." She took the most valuable thing in her house, potentially broke the lid off, dumped it on his feet, knelt down, let her hair down. Said, "This is my Jesus. And I'm clinging to him. I'm clinging to him. I know who he is. I'm clinging to him." And I'd say, what a witness. The church, brothers and sisters, we are that witness now. We are that witness. We have this opportunity for people to see what someone who adores Jesus does. Someone who knows who Jesus is. Someone who can say, "That's my King. Do you know him?" What an opportunity we have, and how simple it can be. If you're scared right now and you don't know what I'm saying, put the phone away. We're not here to get a selfie. We're here to be in relationship with our King. Ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? Amen.